Welcome back to the show. Time to look at the top stories trending nationally with our lunch rush here. Scott Rolen has been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, sneaking over the threshold by the narrowest of margins. I mean, he barely got it. One of the game's great third baseman. He was named on 76.3% of the ballots cast in his sixth year of eligibility to earn the honor, to earn the enshrinement. But that's not really the story. Just missing was former Colorado Rockies first baseman Todd Helton, who received support on 72.2% of ballots in his fifth try. So along with Helton, 27 other players listed on the 2023 ballot didn't clear the 75% threshold. So Scott Rolen was the only one to get in. This leads me to believe Scott Rolen's so I get it. Everyone's bummed right now, but it's going to happen next year. It will happen next year. Scott Rolen's gone. So all those people that voted for Scott Rolen might vote for Todd Helton. I just think he'll be in there next year. He's got plenty of years left of eligibility. I know it's sad, but
it's just dumb.
Oh, it's absolutely
dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's absolutely dumb. Why do writers... I was listening to Jerry Schimmel on with Good Morning NoCo, and he's like, writers shouldn't be able to vote. I don't think they should be able to. Why do I want a Colorado Rockies beat guy voting? Because they're going to be biased. Nobody cares in New York about Todd Helton. So why do we do... Like, the NFL does it. They have their own little committee, don't they? Hall of Fame? They let everybody in, though. I mean, you and I are probably going to be in there pretty soon.
Baseball just feels like if you're in charge of any aspect of baseball, you kind of have this kind of elitist mentality. Like, I'm better than you. I know this game more than you. It's America's game, and you don't know America.
Why would a writer be able to... I'm sorry.
How much baseball do they actually watch?
I mean, they probably watch a good chunk of their market team, but how much could they watch out of market?
Todd Helton highlights and just watched all of that. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But I personally didn't grow up watching the Rockies, so I don't... I know Todd Helton. I know his legacy, but I never watched him play, so I can only say so much about him.
Well, I like... And again, there's no doubt he's...
And
obviously, one of the best Rockies of all time.
Player.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a bias toward Colorado, but I like what Jerry said. He's like, should guys that go on hunting trips with Todd, which I don't know if they're doing that, but should guys that are around these guys, writers that are around the Todd Heltons of the world every single day, yucking it up in interviews? Because it's not just the interviews we see. They're laughing, they're joking, they spend time together. And so, if you like that guy and he's really good, as a writer, you're always going to vote him in. And you say, well, I'm partial. I don't do that. I'm a professional. You're around the Rockies more than you're around anything else if you're a writer. If you're a beat writer for the Rockies, you probably watch out-of-market baseball, but not a lot because you're always following the Rockies. Pre-game, game, post-game, write-ups, coverage. You don't have a lot of time. You need a committee. And this is baseball, though. Baseball's too strict. Football's not strict enough. There's got to be a balance in between. Todd will get there next year. Hopefully so. Aaron Rodgers is open to reworking a deal, his deal with the Packers, if he plays in 2023. He hasn't made any decision yet on whether he's going to continue, let alone what the team would look like. But maybe whether that's with the Packers or any other team, he said he would rework it. He has 59.4 million-dollar guarantee if he plays in 23. He's not leaving that on the table. I know he's a millionaire, multi-millionaire. But that's $60 million, Angel. You're not going to just leave $60 million go off into the air. You're not going to do it. So he's going to play. I'm saying it right now. Aaron Rodgers will be playing next year for the Green Bay Packers. Tom Brady will be playing for the Las Vegas Raiders next year. There, it's done.
You think he's staying in Green Bay?
I think he's going to stay in Green Bay.
Why? Other than the money, why would he stay?
He wouldn't have to rework his contract if he stayed in Green Bay, would he? I mean, he might.
I think so.
But if he goes somewhere else, he's going to have to rework his contract. He said there's a lot of teams, because of COVID, that are strapped. And you're seeing, with a lot of different contracts, they're pushing more money out in deals, Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show. They're creating void years to allow for an easier cap hit. So there would have to be some adjustments for sure, talking about what he would have to do with his contract. It makes it hard to trade him because not a lot of people want to take on that contract for, what is he, a 38-year-old quarterback who clearly isn't, I don't know if I can say clearly, but he's not the same Aaron Rodgers he was even a year ago.
No, but I think there is a team out there that will make a trade for him and will take the brunt of that contract.
Where would he go?
Jets.
That's what Brett Favre did. Went to the Jets first, then Minnesota. Hey! Rodgers just does what Brett Favre did. Goes to the Jets, sucks, and then goes to Minnesota.
And Rappaport said that the Packers would not trade him to an NFC team.
That's my prediction. I'm predicting he stays one more year, collects that $60 million from Green Bay, and Tom Brady's playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. That's all he's got to do is sign. You know Josh McDaniels wants him, right? That's got to be.
I would hope.
I would imagine. That's this whole Derek Carr thing. Isn't it funny in Vegas? Josh McDaniels is doing the exact same thing that he did in Denver. First things first, come into town, get rid of your quarterback. Lose games. And then get rid of your stud receiver, Brandon Marshall. Is that what he's going to do with Devontae Adams and look at the contract and go, we can't get other players on our team because this contract's too expensive? Somebody tweeted that, and they're like, I tried to warn Raiders fans, step one, get rid of the quarterback. Step two, lose games. Step three, get rid of another franchise star player. Congratulations, you're on your way to step three because they lost games. They got rid of their quarterback. Step three would be star player gets shipped out of Dodge. If you bring Tom Brady in, though, you got to have him a weapon. I'd be curious to see how that works.
I mean, he might like playing with Hunter Renfrow, though.
Yeah. Oh, I think he absolutely would. That kind of fits.
That's his best friend.
That's his best friend. Yeah, we'll see, man. Is Tom Brady done, though? Because he didn't look... How did he get those numbers? Like, look at his numbers. His numbers were up there. Top five and everything. When you watched him play, did it seem like he was top five and everything? He didn't look good this year.
No, you weren't really blown away by, you know, he's not making these big 50-yard passes downfield or anything like. He's playing Tom Brady football, which is just kind of dink and dunk, take what the defense gives you and move down the field effectively. And, you know, maybe he's physically just slowing down a little bit, mentally slowing down a little bit. I don't know. I did see a video of him looking at a private school in Miami for his kids.
Mm.
Everyone was freaking out about it. Like, his kids live there. Yeah. He's not going to Miami.
What will your life be like if Tom Brady goes to Miami?
I would take a year off.
Where would Tua go?
Tua would stay right there.
Go to Vegas?
No, he'd stay there.
If Tom Brady came?
Yeah.
You'd be a backup? You'd be good with that?
No, he'd beat him out in training camp. But
nobody's beating Tom Brady. I don't care if he's in a wheelchair.
25-year-old versus a 47-year-old.
If you bring Tom Brady onto your team, he is starting. He would have to.
No self-respecting Dolphins fan could ever root for Tom Brady in a Dolphins uniform. You just can't do it.
Yeah, it might
That's
happen.
Like if back in the 90s, Jim Kelly got traded to the Dolphins and you traded Marino to the Bills. It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't look right. It wouldn't work.
It's a different world. It's a different world we live in. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. East Side Chris says, Brady, I'm thinking Stanford hasn't played the new college direction. They won't go hunting for talent. Too much prestige. Well, Angel, they have a GPA thing, right, at Stanford. I think CU kind of had that too.
I think so.
Where it's like you have to have a pretty high GPA to be on the team and transfers coming in. That's why you didn't see a lot of big-time transfers. Well, Primetime cut that. They fixed that. That's all it took was prime time to come in and say we can't be competitive if we have these ridiculous standards for our student athletes. It's fine. But is that something where you look at Stanford and go, well, that's a struggle, especially now. Before it was a struggle, but now it's even more of a struggle. Is that why David Shaw struggled so much the last few years? Is that fair to say that? It's not making an excuse. It's just something to look at that with their tight GPA restrictions and everything, and then now you add in the transfer portal and the NIL stuff, they're not playing ball. I agree with Eastside Chris. They're not playing ball like these other schools are playing. Ivy League schools or schools with prestige like Stanford, they're not going to play this game yet. They might someday, but they're not playing it right now.
It's interesting to compare it to like Notre Dame, because they also have a GPA requirement and, you know, credits and all that stuff. And with Stanford, I think they have such a well-respected athletic program just across the sports that maybe they don't see themselves as, if we need to be dominant in football. That's my take.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we have Tiger Woods, or every once in a while we'll get a Christian McCaffrey pop up out of there. And you'll see that. I think their quarterback, Tanner McKee, he's all right. But you're not going to get blown away by a recruit going to, oh, you want to come to Stanford and look at our red trees. They're so beautiful and you're so smart here. Kids these days, they don't want that.
Yeah.
They want what Coach Prime has promised.
I think you're right. And I think that shouldn't necessarily be an indictment against David Shaw, because you're not dealing with that in the NFL level.
The culture is just different there.
You're not dealing with transfer NIL. They're making their money. You know, David Shaw, can you lead men now? And again, I just don't think, if you're looking, oh, that David Shaw hire, I don't like it because he was just a college coach. Well, I mean, that's how Harbaugh got into the game. He was the Stanford guy. So maybe the same thing can happen. But I think it's fair to give David Shaw a little bit of a break, because Stanford's a little different in how they do things. And I think schools, CU was one of them, I think schools that are a little different and they don't want to buy into this new world, I think CSU's struggling to buy into the NIL stuff. I think that schools that aren't ready to do this and take this new adventure on that is college sports, you are going to get left in the dust. So you better figure it out fast. I think a lot of schools were way too late in this. Didn't want to talk about it. And I know that for a fact with some. 18 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communication Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Ian Rappaport saying, quote, as of right now, it does not seem like there is a place for Sean Payton. He added that could change, but there isn't a spot for him right now. He's going back to Fox. That's what's going to happen with Sean Payton. He's going to go back to Fox, and he's going to wait it out another year and see what other jobs come available. Because I guarantee you, if the Chargers don't make the playoffs next year, Staley's gone. If the Cowboys don't get to the NFC Championship, maybe McCarthy's gone. I know it's weird because it's hard to do that. If you're a consistent playoff team and you can make it at least past the first round, I mean, that's good. You always give yourself a shot. But Jerry Jones isn't getting any younger. He wants to see a Super Bowl. He wants to see one more. And you got to figure that out. If McCarthy is going to draw up wacky plays where Zeke is a center. Listen, they wouldn't have scored anyway, but they didn't even get the shot because the play call was so ridiculous. They didn't even get a shot at it. That job's going to come available, maybe. The Rams job could still come available because Sean McVay has already been teetering. So that could be, yes, it just makes sense. Why would you, if you're Sean Payton and you're going to have more options next year, don't lock yourself into unknowns. Angel, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being very attractive, like it's the Niners job or the Chiefs job, like the most attractive job right now as far as coaching the NFL, whether it's filled or not. You look at the Chiefs and say, okay, yeah, you go chance coach Patrick Mahomes and that great team. Wow, that's a great job. I can probably go win some Super Bowls. Arizona, Scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest.
I'd say about a 6.
6?
I think just there's still a lot of uncertainty. You're going to have to do a lot of rebuilding with that team.
So 6 compared to... So 6 being like, okay, that's not a bad job. You know, compare it to the rest of the league.
It would be higher if Kyler Murray was healthy for the start of the season.
So you're going fairly high with Arizona.
Yeah.
Cool, you're going with 6. Houston.
It depends on what kind of situation you want to go into, but I'd say probably a 3.
Probably. Just based on the way it is right now. Not looking at the draft or anything like that.
You know what you're going to get when you go to if you go to Houston.
Yeah. Carolina.
I think their defense is good. I think you get more pieces on that offense. Probably put some at maybe a 6 or a 7.
So you got Carolina pretty high. Denver.
Denver's probably round 6.
You got Denver up pretty high. Indianapolis, which sounds like Jeff Saturday might. They're going to do a second interview with Jeff Saturday.
Colts, I would stay away from
them. Well, it's like the one we're not talking about. Like, nobody wants that job. That's why Jeff Saturday is probably going to get it.
You're going to get that job. You're going to bring in some veteran quarterback like a Derek Carr.
Oh, yeah, they probably will.
It's going to fall apart again.
Is that going to be what the Colts do? Bring in Derek Carr?
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Oh, my gosh. And that would be... okay, so Andrew Luck... Who came after Andrew Luck? Was it Carson Wentz after that?
Philip Rivers,
Carson Wentz. And then...
Matt Ryan.
So we're just going to keep trying to fill the void that Andrew Luck left behind. And just bringing on quarterbacks that are probably a year, 2, 3, or 4 past their prime.
Oh, they'll get it turned around.
Although Derek Carr would be
Derek Carr would be the most...
The best one since.
Yes.
Yeah, because Philip Rivers was cooked. You know, just assumed his career was almost done. I kind of forgot that he went to Indianapolis. That's going to be something I forget about in 10 years. I'm going to go.
I think he forgot it, too.
I think everybody. I think all of his kids forgot it. All 39 of them. Matt Ryan probably forgot he was there, too, because of the amount of hits that he took all year. I mean, that guy, just go home. You made your money. He had your shot at the Super Bowl. Yeah, just be done. Just be done, man. See, I'm a little less generous. I'm going to say Arizona is the highest one for me, but I'm going to say it's like a 5. Houston is probably a 3, a 2 or a 3, just because of all the damage done from the Deshaun Watson thing. Yeah, the prospect of the draft picks and all, that's good. I'll agree with you on 3. Carolina, I'm just, again, what's the quarterback situation? Still very concerned about that. But they did win. What'd they win, like 6 games? 5 games? Somehow, given the fact that they are, you know, they fired their coach in the middle of the season, they shipped everybody away.
Carolina does have the number 9 pick.
They have the number 9 pick, and they did win 7 games. So it's a little more attractive to me than Houston, because you won 7 games, and you got a big pick coming up. So I'm going to say that they're a 4. Carolina's a 4. And I'm comparing these to the rest of the league, by the way. If Kansas City's a 10... Carolina's a 4. Denver, right now, based on what we just saw with Russell Wilson, it's not higher than a 4. Brady, the defense. Who's your coordinator? He's getting a second interview with Houston today. So, last 5 games or so, defense wasn't a world beater. I have confidence in some of these players. I have confidence that Javonte Williams can come back and be a really good player. I have confidence that Jerry Jeudy has turned a corner. Heck, man, I even have confidence that Russell Wilson might be okay with somebody that's competent and you don't have to work through all these learning situations with a guy like Nathaniel Hackett. But given what we know about this team right now, it's just not that attractive. It's like a 4. So... if I'm Sean Payton, why wait around? Why commit to a 4? And in your mind, even commit to a 6. Like, what's the charge? What would the Chargers' job be with Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen and Williams and all these other guys and Bosa?
That's a 9.
It's a 9.
Easy.
So why wait around? Why commit to a 6 when a 9 might be there next year?
And he would have a choice next year, right?
I think so. Or is it too...
I don't think the Saints would still have his rights.
I think
he would
you're right.
Basically a free agent.
Because I think he had the 2 years left on it. And last year was the year and then this year. So you go wherever. Los Angeles Rams. What's that job? Knowing that it's in Los Angeles. Again, what does it mean to him? Knowing it's in Los Angeles, if Sean McVay does call it quits, you might have Aaron Donald. Stafford. So, is that a six? Is it a seven? Because it's in Los Angeles?
I think it really depends on how McVay leaves that team. Because we had kind of talked about so what if he comes back, tries to fix it, and then leave it off for
something. Maybe wins like eight games or something, and then you go, okay, well, that's a decent team. Dallas. Should be a high one. They got the talent, just can't put it together.
Yeah, I think Dallas is definitely up there. I think they have their core team together, and it would be the easiest team to walk into and have success with.
How about... I mean, Tampa Bay could be in the mix for a head coach.
I don't know what's going on there.
They could be in the mix for a head coach. I'm just, why would you commit to these teams when you could have a chance at 8-9s next year? 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes next, Mark Johnson. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310. KSKA.
Joining us now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, before we get into some Buffs talk here, you're pretty familiar with David Shaw, of course, being in the Pac-12, covering this that team and CU's opponents for, 16-plus years, whatever, however long Shaw's been there. What are your thoughts on David Shaw? Who better to ask than a guy that follows the Pac-12 as closely as you do? What are your thoughts on David Shaw being the next head coach for the Broncos?
Well, that's always a question, how a guy's going to transition from college to the pros. It's a very different game, but in terms of the human being, everything I know about David Shaw, very quality man. I mean, the high integrity guy. Loved the way he handled himself at Stanford. Obviously, won a lot of football games over a lot of years there. So, in terms of the man, I think he's outstanding, and he's certainly smart enough to surround himself with a great staff. So, I would not necessarily have a major problem with that whatsoever, because I do think he's a quality guy. And again, there's always that question about transition to the pros, and what I mean by that, for maybe your listeners that I don't quite see the difference. The college game is about the coach. The pro game is about the players. And, you know, we've seen a lot of college guys try to make that transition where they're accustomed to kind of, you know, what I say goes and nobody questions what I say. That's not quite the way it works in the year. So I'm quite certain that David Shaw will be smart enough to make that transition. Probably is well aware of that as well, I'm certain. And so I think he could be a very good candidate for that job.
Marco, you know, you've had people look at his record and go, well, what happened the last 4 years or so? Obviously, they weren't, he was really good most of his time there at Stanford, but the last few years weren't so great. Do you think that, and this is maybe an overall generalization of college coaches, isn't it kind of fair to at least give some of these guys some grace going, all right, when you signed up to be a head coach back in 2011 for Stanford, things were a lot different. We weren't dealing with transfer portals. We weren't dealing with NIL. Fast forward to your last 2 years especially, it's a completely different world. And it is, and I'm not saying that makes you better or worse as a head coach. Some can adapt to it and some can't, but that's not necessarily what you sign up for. So when I look at the last few seasons, I go, I wonder if David Shaw was just kind of done. And I know it's a little bit different with Stanford with the GPA stuff and the transfers and all that, but part of me just wonders if he was kind of seeing the trajectory college football was going and now's the time to get out and try my hand at the NFL.
Well, I'll say this, that, we just have, at the University of Colorado, have had some changes academically speaking. But keep in mind, when you're talking about Stanford, you're talking about a different deal. You want to talk about a school that can't get transfers in. But they ain't taking transfers at all, right?
Yeah.
And so I think what's happened has very much hurt places like Stanford. Certainly hurt the University of Colorado until they made some adjustments here. And certainly has hurt. So I wouldn't put a lot of stuff. You know, I always kind of chuckle at that. Do you think all of a sudden David Shaw forgot how to coach? You know, after all those years of having great success, so then what you look for is the variable. What changed? What changed within the world of college football? Well, college football changed. In terms of the business of college football, it's been altered greatly. And, you know, I think David Shaw was probably in a position where, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time, obviously, at Stanford campus. That's a different creature now. That's a very different world. And I'm not so sure that they're willing necessarily to go out and play all the games that you've got to play if you're going to play, you know, at the highest levels of college football anymore. And so I wouldn't put too much stock in that. He was a very good coach for a very long time. You've got a very large sample size with him.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. If you just look at the last few years, well, that was right in the kind of in the beginning process of all of this stuff, really. Yep. I mean, I'm not saying that's directly impacting it, but like you just said, Stanford's not playing the game. They're not doing the transfer stuff. They're not, I don't know what their NIL situation looks like, but I'm guessing it's not crazy. They don't have a collective set up or anything like that. So, I mean, I wonder why more coaches in college football that have been at it for a while. I even thought that maybe Jim Harbaugh, oh, this is a perfect time to get out because I don't want to deal with this stuff. I'm actually shocked we're not seeing more head coaches that started 10, 15, 20 years ago looking at this going, man, maybe now's the time to get out.
Well, you know, some guys may do that, and I've talked with a number. You know, look around the country, some of the major coaches the last couple of years, you know, Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams, guys like that, that have stepped aside. I've talked with a lot of coaches that have said either I'm gone or I'm not hanging around too much longer because how crazy this has begun. So I do think there is some of that. And then the other aspect is just the guy, there are guys out there that go, you know what, I don't want to deal with what I got to deal with in the National Football League because they like having a little bit more say or authority than maybe you do in the NFL where, you know, the National Football League, like I said, the players kind of run everything and you're just simply giving them the game plan and making sure that the practices are done right, that kind of thing.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Mark, let's go back to it. The Buffs broke a three-game losing streak by taking down Washington State, and it took the whole game. K.J. Simpson with almost a buzzer beater in that three-pointer to beat Washington State, but Tristan Da Silva was sensational. That had to be a really nice one for the Buffs to get that win, and maybe that's a sign of more things to come.
Well, we'll wait and see. I've got a little Missourian in me. You got to show me, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this team is perplexing to me. I mean, they're supremely talented at times, and then there are other times where they lose their, you know, darn mind. I mean, it really is something, you know, how things work out, how they can, you know, take care of the ball one game, shoot very well, and offense runs well, their intensity is very good. The next game, you know, they turn the ball over 22 times, and, you know, they shoot, you know, horribly from the foul line. Head around his team, and it's got to be frustrating for Tad, I would think, because of how talented and how, when they do play well, how well they can play, and so it's really interesting. You know, that game, I do think Wazoo was a pretty good darn football or basketball team, rather. I mean, you know, Brady, they went down and won at Arizona, for goodness sakes, down in Tucson. So they are a very talented team. Now their record, they're a little bit inconsistent as well. You know what we're going to see tomorrow night in Oregon,
yes.
They're up and down all over the place, and so. You know, college basketball right now is really fascinating to me with all that we were just talking about with football, with transfer portals and NIL. And, I mean, look at Temple going in and beating number one Houston the other night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I said on the air when I saw that score come in, I said, college basketball, go home, you're drunk. I mean, it's just nuts what's going on out there right now.
You're exactly right. I don't get anything. I'm watching, I watched that Oregon-Stanford game the other night, too, and I'm just thinking any minute now, the Ducks are going to go off, they're going to start hitting shots, and they're going to take care of Stanford, and they couldn't buy a bucket. I'm watching our old boy Keyshawn Bartholomew, too. It's like, who is this Oregon team? Is this the same team that beat Arizona once by quite a bit? So right. I don't know how you're prepping for this game tomorrow, Mark, but I don't have any idea what to expect. CU or Oregon, which two teams are we going to get?
I mean, think about both of these teams. You've got Oregon, Colorado beat it by 27. Colorado loses to Cal. You know, Oregon beats Arizona. You're like, what in the world is going on here? I mean, you know, a lot of times you start to see by this time of year, by the time you start getting close to February 1, you're starting to see everyone kind of settle in a little bit. You're getting an understanding of what everybody is. And right now, there's plenty of college basketball in this Pac-12 conference. There's plenty of teams out there that I'm not certain about. I mean, look what's going on around the country. Kansas has been up and down. Kansas has lost at home, had some close games at home. You've seen North Carolina with some of that. As I mentioned, number one, Houston gets beat. UCLA has gotten beat out of, you know, you kind of went, how'd that happen? Arizona's been the same. So it's really nuts. And you know, I'm not sure who's going to show up tomorrow. I mean, I'd like to think the Buffs will come out and be able to duplicate what they did against the Ducks the first time. But who knows? I mean, maybe Oregon's got an upswing tomorrow night, and the Buffs have a, you know, they're down in the valley. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how you do it, because it's just a lot of unknowns, what to expect. Things that you're looking at, probably, Mark, for keys to the game might be the complete opposite once they actually get into it. So enjoy, though. Hey, it's got to be entertaining, at least.
You've heard me say before, I'm in an interesting business. That's what I want. Well, this is certainly interesting. That's sometimes out, but it is interesting, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of interesting, primetime. I mean, that, I'm telling you, Mark, people have asked me, like, my thoughts on it, and I don't really know. I love Deion Sanders. I grew up loving Deion Sanders. Who doesn't love Deion Sanders? But, you know, people are like, what do you think this is going to be? And my first response is exactly what you said. It's a heck of a ride, isn't it? It's really entertaining either way, and there's a story there. We'll see what happens, but it's a lot of this is going to be on camera for us to see.
It's going to be all on camera. I was at a Pac-12 network last night, and the guys were asking me, you know, kind of a projection of wins, and I said, dude, I've got no clue whatsoever.
Right.
Buff Nation thinks they're going to go 12-0. Las Vegas says they're going to, you know, have the over-unders 4.5 games. I said, heck, if they go 6-6, go to a bowl game, that's a six-fold increase of wins. That would be spectacular. I'm not sure anybody would be happy with that. So I have no idea what's going to happen. All I know is that I've got a front row seat for it. They're going to strap the headphones on, and I'm going to tell everybody exactly what's happening.
Yeah, that's the best part about it, to me anyway. And, you know, just you want wins, you want all that stuff, but it's fun. It's fun to cover this thing, and we'll see what ends up happening, because to me, it is a fascinating study, Mark, that could lead us in a completely different direction in the future, in a good way, in a positive way, or interestingly, maybe some negative ways too. We'll see. But either way, this is going to be a really fascinating study, and enjoy that front row seat there, Mark. I envy you sometimes, man. This is going to be fun.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Brady, the one thing about it is, you know, as this how would you say this new structure, if you will, of college football that Coach Prime has brought in and how it's going to work. If it works very well, and I certainly hope it do, make no mistake about that. I hope this is a wild success. I hope the Buffs do go 11-1 or 12-0 next year. It'd be awesome for me. And if they do that, I'm not sure that somebody else can duplicate it. Right?
True. Yeah. I mean, it could be tough.
Yeah, because, you know, as I've said before, you know, Deion Sanders has got a 1-1. So if he does do what kind of the expectations are, others will try, because that's what we do. We live in a copycat world. Everyone tries to do what seems to work. I'm not sure anybody else could do it like him. And then if it doesn't work, you know, I'm not sure that you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I think there's some really unique and creative things that he's doing in terms of how he's structuring this. So that's why I think it's a fascinating case study. And like I said, I got a front row seat, and I just hope it turns out wildly successful. And heck, I'm calling it a championship in the near future.
I was thinking about the uniqueness of the situation, because you're right. We'll see if teams try to duplicate it. But I was thinking about the uniqueness of this. Deion Sanders, primetime, being the player that he was, but also the entertainer that he was, then getting into TV and doing pretty much the same thing as far as entertainment. And then proving that he can coach in college football. So he's done a lot of everything, and he's walked the walk for the most part. I'm thinking of other major personalities in sports, you know, the guys that I like, that I'm entertained by, the Charles Barkleys of the world. I can't imagine Charles Barkley being a head coach. I can't really imagine Shaq being a college head coach. That's why you're right, Mark. This is so unique. Deion Sanders is a ridiculously powerful, popular personality, but has found a way to lead and perhaps do the little things that go into being a head coach.
You know, there have been plenty of superstar athletes who have tried to become coaches, and it has not worked out. You know, Magic Johnson tried it. You know, Michael Jordan tried to be a general manager, and that didn't have a great deal of success. And, you know, there aren't that many that have accomplished it. And so that's why I think this is going to be fascinating to watch, because he has already had some success. And right now, all the needles are pointing in the right direction. So, yeah, let's kind of see how this thing unfolds.
All right, Mark, appreciate you as always, my friend. What time do you get rocking and rolling tomorrow night?
6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night in the Colorado Basketball Network. You can catch us on the Varsity Network app. That's always an easy way to do it. And by the way, if you haven't dialed up the Varsity Network app on your phone, because all of your favorite college teams, anybody that's associated with Learfield Sports, is on there. And you can go back. Not to listen to the broadcast live. They've also got, all of us are doing, of course, you know, podcasts and coaches shows. They're all, you know, cataloged right there. And so they're or you can go on demand and listen to that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah, if you haven't done that, do it. And you can listen to our broadcast and certainly anybody else.
More Mark Johnson is never a bad thing, my friend. Mark, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good to you.
The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. I am a huge fan of Mark. Mark and I have known each other for quite a while now. Angel, let me ask you this. When Mark's talking, he's not saying anything negative about primetime. But are you sensing that, not a hesitance, but a hesitancy, but like almost a, I don't know if this is going to work out with primetime. It's going to be fun, but I don't know. Are you getting that sense from Mark?
A little bit. I know he has to be somewhat unbiased because of his position, but I think he's true in that we don't know what to expect from Sanders and the Buffs. We don't know what is his offensive scheme going to look like. What's the defensive scheme going to look like? What's the culture going to be like on game day? Are they, you know, do they all have to wear matching suits when they go up to the game? We don't know. It seems we're getting more and more insight on this program as the days go on. But we're really not going to know anything for sure until they hit the field for real in September.
Yeah.
And it could blow up quickly in September.
I saw somebody on Twitter comment on one of his posts. You know, you see that sometimes they have some of the comments just there. You can see them. Well, Sanders was going off, not going off, but talking about his religion because he's a Christian-minded guy. He talks about that in his relationship with Jesus and God quite a bit, right? Pretty vocal about it. Right. He had tweeted something about it, and somebody had commented on there and said, well, what happens if one of your student-athletes isn't a believer? And I guess I kind of thought of it in a couple of different ways. You know, is what primetime is doing, is he going to be allowed to kind of preach and talk about, because he has already, he has in front of everybody, the administration there in Boulder. Is he going to be allowed to keep doing that? Because, dude, here it is 2023. I thought that stuff was kind of frowned upon, but they are letting primetime do and say whatever he wants as far as talking. Now, me personally, being a believer, I love it. If my kid were going there, great. You're helping them. You're furthering their belief of what I want them to be in their walk with God and faith. But I do wonder about that stuff. Like, nobody's really talked about it. They're letting primetime open up and talk about this, which I think is a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, too. And if you follow athletes on social media, a lot of them will post Bible quotes or, you know, things they heard from church or giving thanks to God, all kinds of stuff. And you see that with athletes, and I get why we're kind of hesitant when a coach does it. You know, like high schools, you can't even do like prayer, like kneeling prayers with your team. Like, and so it is definitely interesting, and you give the atmosphere of Boulder, and it seems maybe they're too caught up in the hype of primetime that maybe they haven't just got to that point yet. If he starts this, like, first game of the season, before the game even kicks off, they're on the sidelines all praying together. That's going to be a story.
Yeah.
They're going to write about that.
There will be a story.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I agree.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I was just curious. Like, oh, I guess they're kind of in Boulder of all places. There it is. 12:52 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Got our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Berthoud Brewing. Sam's Orange Ale. Pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-through or pop inside. They're open every day, 9 until 10 o'clock. That's On the Rocks Liquor. And then check it out this weekend, coming up on the 28th. Owners John and Tony will be celebrating their 12th anniversary with On the Rocks Liquor. Door prizes, giveaways, all that happening at On the Rocks Liquor. So do me a favor, stop by, wish them a, you know, happy anniversary on 12 years with On the Rocks, doing things the right way over there, and tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. If the Broncos do not hire Sean Payton or Dan Quinn or Jim Harbaugh, basically any of those guys that were in the tier one upper echelon portion of this, will this search be considered a failure? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll discuss that more on the other side. Also, the Nuggets get a nice dub. Jared Bednar gets a nice dub as well. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.